Thank you. So, I mean, just a little bit of review. We really gathered from this message, these parables really tell us, or I think Jesus wants us to understand the real battle that goes on out there, like good versus evil, really. And as I said this morning, that was something that God said way back in the Garden of Eden. There was going to be a conflict between the seed of woman and the seed of Satan, really. There was going to be that conflict all the time. And even, I find that even in Jesus, he's really saying that he's proclaiming the word right now, but Satan comes along and takes that seed away. And there's different ways. These represents different hearts and different man's response to the Bible here, really. And so I just want to review. We went out, there was three ways that Satan uses that, how he opposes Christ in the word. The first one is that while the seed is even being planted, he's already there before the seed really gets a chance to even settle into the heart. Satan is already there to snatch that away. I mean, here's a picture of someone that is listening. You know, he's paying attention to what's being said, but he really hasn't, like I said, hasn't grasped it, hasn't let it really sink in, really, but Satan takes it out of there one way or another, gets him distracted, so he won't follow through on it. That's the trick of Satan. The next example we have with the stony places is people that has accepted the word in their heart, but they don't ever grow because they don't really get themselves, let the seed grow. Satan doesn't let the seed grow. It's an idea that Satan floods them with all kinds of things in this world that hinders them from really growing in their faith. And so I think this is really the beginning stages before they really grasp the word. This is a one that to me is, you know, did they really respond? I mean, are they really born again? I mean, we have the idea of someone that really, yeah, I'm with you, you know, sort of thing. But then just pretty soon they fall along, which means their heart really wasn't in it. I think we need to see that. Satan, of course, is behind all that. He doesn't want their heart to be in it, does he? And then finally, fourthly, he hinders us from being fruitful. And this is where, you know, this we believe is a true believer, but it's a Christian that's not pleasing to God. He's not really walking with God because he's allowed the things in this world to take preeminence over God and over God's word. Whether it's worrying about stuff or the things that God has provided you with becomes a centerfold to you. You become more preoccupied with making money than, that's why I think it calls it deceitful of richness. You know, it's not being rich that's bad. It's that you get, Satan wants you to think that being rich is the answer. If you get rich, you're going to really be happy. You're going to have everything you need. And how many testimonies have we heard of people said, you know, when I got to the top, I said, is this it? Where's this happiness? Where's this contentment? It's not there. I've told people many times, I said, we are created to worship God. We're created to have God in our life. And if we don't have him in our life, we're not going to be fulfilled ever. No matter what you have in this world, it's not going to happen. And so that's the third way that Satan hinders the advance of the gospel and hinders Christ and his work in people's life, really. So, let's see here. Get my notes together here somehow. Oops. So finally, verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. What distinguishes this believer as opposed to the rest of them in this verse? What distinguishes them? His heart was ready to hear it. No, I think it's the last part of that verse. What's that Christian doing? He's producing fruit. This is the big difference. This is the big difference between all the other examples. These others were not producing fruit. In fact, it says very clearly that one above it, he was unfruitful. But here, this one is producing fruit. And it seems like this is important. We've had the other two that they heard, they understood, but they were not bearing fruit, which is a big sign of them being a true follower of Jesus. In fact, they say this is this parable shows this is really the distinction between a true Christian and a hypocrite. Bearing forth fruits of righteousness is important. Let's look at John 15. John 15, 8. I want us to look there. John 15, 8. Somebody can read that if they find it. Yeah, go ahead. I like how that says that. That proves that you're my disciple. Bearing fruit proves that you're my disciple. That's so important that, to God, that we bear fruit. And we're going to look at some other scriptures for that. But first, I want to say that it's important to understand in this verse, the fact that he's bearing fruit does not mean that he's free from this world or free from the results of the failure of mankind, free from the sin that's in this world, free from the temptations. That's not saying he's free from all those facts. It's interesting to me that we can be freed from the reign of it in our lives, though. The stones and the thorns are going to still be there, even though we're Christians. But we don't have to let them stop our growth. And we can be fruitful. That's what Jesus is really saying here. And so, let's look at this. Why is that? Why is that, first of all, that he is being fruitful? I think we see here, first of all, as we've kind of brought out, the first two parts of the verse is that we have really here a person that is sold out for God. It's a person that he's heard the word and he has understood it. They understand, not in the sense that they understand the meaning of the words, but they understand what their part is of it is, how that this has to be a part of their life. What they know what they need to do. That's what it means by the understanding. It's not somebody else's thing, it's theirs. It's sort of like the example of a man of a business. A man has to understand his business. That means the business has to be a part of him. It can't be somebody else's. It's his responsibility. He takes it on. And I think it's interesting that we have really here where that God gains possession of our wills and our affections by the opening up of our understanding. We have to understand that we have to allow him to open up our understanding. We have to ask him to open up our understanding. And as we do that, God will give us understanding. That's a part of this here scripture, not just hearing, but understanding what our part is, the importance of us yielding to him. We're going to get understanding God's way of doing it, not Satan's way. We're going to get it by submitting our will and submitting to the word of God. That's how we get understanding. The Bible talks about Satan coming in through other doors. He's a thief and a robber. He comes through other doors other than the way that God has designed us to come. And I'm afraid that there's too many people, Christians, that try to do the same thing. Well, I want to gain all the blessings of God, but I kind of want to do it my way. I don't want to really submit to him and his ways. And you're not going to get fruitful. You're not going to be fruitful if that's your attitude about things here. Secondly, we see here also that these are people who are fruitful hearers, we can call them. In other words, their fruit is the evidence of their good understanding of God and his ways. That fruit is proof of that. We kind of read that in that one chapter, didn't we? We bear fruit when we practice things according to the word of God. We bear fruit when the very desires of our mind and the very character of our lives are conformable to the gospel, and we have received that into our lives. We need to live the way we're taught. When we do that, we become fruitful. I want us to go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. 22 to 25. This is talking about, obviously, isn't it, that we're talking about we need to live according to what we're taught, according to what the scriptures tell us to teach. And I so see this, you know, people come to church sometimes every Sunday, and they hear the word, but as soon as they get at the back of the church, they forget about anything they heard because it really didn't take root in them, did it? It was not a part of them. This is a person that's being deceiving. They think, well, I went to church and I heard the word, and maybe you can even quote some scripture, but if you're not living it, then you're not being fruitful. You're not going to be fruitful. And I believe that's what this is talking about. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. I was trying to, you know, live a good life when I'm in that atmosphere amongst Christians, but when I get out in the world, I kind of forget about that, and I start living like the world instead. But he concludes by saying, the true person, the real Christian is going to be the one that lives according to that law of liberty. And notice it says, and he continues in it. It's not just on Sundays. It's out in the world. He's also living in that law of liberty, which is, I believe, is talking about the liberty of our souls that we get by inviting Jesus into our life here. And so he's not just, this will become a doer of the word and not just an observer of the word. That's really what he's talking about here in the scripture. So amazing to me. Now notice back to 13, I find it interesting that he gives, indeed, who bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. What's he talking about there? He putting some people above other people? I think that we should, I see this in a couple ways. And a lot of people, I believe, would see this, that there are people that are more sold out than others. When you talk about some that are producing 100-fold, that means they're really more sold out than others. There are some that are producing fruit, but there's different levels of how much different people. And if you look at that, I like the fact that Jesus, even though if you're only producing 30%, at least you're producing some fruit, and I'm happy for that. At least you're doing something. I also, though, see this, that, you know, God gives us different gifts. And you got people like Billy Graham, who thousands came to the Lord because of him. Well, we don't compare ourselves to him because we don't have that same gift. But I'm wondering if that could not be seen in this as well. He really won a lot of souls for the Lord. There's also other ways of being fruitful, of being kind, being helpful. You know, when people are in need, helping them as much as we can, that's all being fruitful, I believe. Showing mercy, pity to people that are hurting, that's all part of being fruitful for the Lord. In fact, I want to conclude tonight by, I want us to look at some scriptures here. Why does Jesus use the word bearing fruit? In fact, it's not just Jesus. It's throughout the Bible we see this idea of but bearing fruit. Why is that so important, to bear fruit for God? And so let's look at some scriptures on that, okay? First scripture is in Matthew. Matthew 7:16. Go back a couple of chapters here. Matthew 7:16. Again, somebody can read that. Okay, so, I mean, why is it important that we produce good fruit? The very first part of that, verse 17. Did I say that? Yeah. No. What was the verse? Yeah, verse 16. Yeah. Yeah, you will know them by their fruit. Is that important? Do we stand out? Does the world know us by our fruit? We're different from the world because we fear God and we walk according to it. That's important to God, that we bear good fruit. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, 22. What's the fruit here? Really, holiness, yeah. That's the main thing. Holiness. Being fruitful shows a holiness. The fruit of, he's really saying the fruit of being free from sin and being slaves to God is that you become holy before God through the work of Jesus. Obviously, we need to see that. But I think the last part of that verse is important. What is the end of that holiness? Everlasting life, eternal life. That's important. That's why being fruitful for God is important. The scripture talks about that. Let's look at Galatians. This is a familiar one you'll recognize. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23. So what does this fruit represent here in these verses? Does that represent our Christian character? This is this fruit, it's important that we become fruitful for God because it represents who we are in Christ. It's a testimony. Our life, the way we respond to different situations, is a testimony that we belong to God. So being fruitful is very important in these things. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. So, again, let's look at this. What is this verse saying about being fruitful? Being fruitful for what? The good works. It's a test of our good works that we are fruitful. Yeah, that's very good. Yes, increasing in knowledge of God. Those are all signs. Notice is that we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, and what that all involves in doing what? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's exactly very important. So being fruitful in the Bible talks about it's a test of our good works as well, isn't it? All right, we've got about three more verses here I want us to look at, so bear with me. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1:13. Another way of being fruitful. Romans 1:13. What fruit is he talking about there? I think he's talking about winning souls for the Lord. Look what he says there in that verse. He says, I want to have fruit. I want to have some fruit among you, just like I had amongst the other Gentiles. That's talking about winning people to the Lord. Okay? No. I think he wants to visit them. I want to come to you and win some more to the Lord, he said, just like I did amongst other Gentiles. I mean, I think that's exactly what he's talking about there, winning people for the Lord. That's fruit, is it not? It sure is. All right, now Romans 15. So, there again, what's the fruit here? Somebody mentioned about helping people financially. In this situation here, the context, I understand that they were having problems in Jerusalem with famine. And these Gentiles were not having that problem. So Paul is encouraging them. He talks about that someone have made contributions for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And so Paul was bringing that money to Jerusalem to help the saints there. So that's another fruit. He used the word fruit here, doesn't he? Someplace?
Yes.
Here it is, verse 28, yeah. When I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, in other words, these contributions, then I shall go to Spain. It's talking about, yes, the carnal things really means material things. I mean, so in other words, the Gentiles have been made part of this spiritual, the church, basically. They've been allowed to come into the church, and so he says it's normal that they should also help their fellow Jews with material things. That's just normal. We should do that, help each other with best we can. So, yeah. All right, one more verse. Hebrews 13. What's the fruit? What's that talking about?
Praising God.
Praising God, that's right. That's fruit. Praising God, and God takes great pleasure in that and is blessed as we praise Him for what He's done in our lives. So, again, I mean, I guess the challenge, this message title is, what ground are we? You know, what kind of ground does Jesus find when He plants the seed in our life? Or if He calls on us to do some kind of ministry? It's important that we become fruitful for Him. And wherever He finds us, wherever He has planted us, are we being fruitful for Him? That's important to God. So maybe be encouraged by that in this parable here of Matthew 13. Any final comments or? Yep. Yeah, and of course the fruit also, each fruit is a little different. It's whatever seed you planted, that's the kind of fruit you're going to have from that seed. But it's so dependent, like you're saying, that you take care of that fruit. Anita, yeah. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for these thoughts from your word. And oh, Lord Jesus, we want to be fruitful for you. We just pray that you give us grace and strength by your spirit to live by the teaching we have in your word and from you. And we would be producers of fruit, that our very character would show we belong to you, and our everyday speech would show we belong to you. We'd just be an example in this dark world we live in, God.